Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as you guys know, this is the second episode for this week. We had an in-game review, well, part one of the Avengers in-game review that dropped yesterday. This is going to be part two of that review, but this is a more full episode of The Awakened Soul. So you also have the petty news from Scoop Grady, and we also do have an In the Mind of Hayes segment. So on this week, I'm joined by Andrew Bello in that in-game review. If you guys didn't listen to part one, definitely go and check that out. It is full spoilers on Avengers in-game. So as you guys know, we're going to go ahead and let AJ take it away. And then after that, we're going to get into the End of Mona Hayes segment.
The following is a Breaks Media podcast.
You are now listening to the best podcast in the world, The Awakened Soul, hosted by my daddy.
All right, so we are back in the Mind of Hayes segment. I miss you guys for the last week or whatnot. Don't forget, episode 100 of The Awakened Soul drops this weekend, and it's actually an Unruly Creatives episode. So we got BJ and Avery in the building for episode 100 that drops this Sunday. At the same time, I'll probably be doing the live show in DC. So just a lot going on this weekend. I originally had kind of a different plan for the 100th episode, but with the conversation that happened with Unruly Creatives, that I felt like that was definitely the perfect thing for that to be the 100th episode of this podcast. So check that one out. It's a great conversation, as the three of us always have. I don't think we can have a bad conversation with the three of us, but there are definitely some deep revelations made in that, which I think I say about every Unruly Creatives episode, but it's true. But nonetheless, so in this week's In the Mind of Hayes segment, as many know, we did lose John Singleton, unfortunately, yesterday at the age of 51. And that's really what's all on my mind. And you never really think about, at least, let me not say never, but, you know, when something like this happens, you start thinking about the films that he created and what he's been a part of and how it affected my life and the culture. And when you look at, like, Boys in the Hood was really letting America in on what happens in the black communities at a time where, yeah, people knew, we knew, but it wasn't at the forefront like it was. It wasn't ever displayed like that before. The man has had a great and tremendous career. And, you know, he came from just an era where, you know, black directors weren't really commonplace. And they're still really not when you think about it. Like prominent black directors really are a dime a dozen. And, you know, he definitely, him, Spike Lee, Jordan Peele now, F. Gary Gray, like there are people in that space that we look to that really are the flag bearers of us in that medium, but there really aren't that very many of us. So just looking at the films that he created, in the first three, powerful stories, powerful messages: Boys in the Hood, Poetic Justice, Higher Learning. His first three films, he was director and producer on both Poetic Justice and Higher Learning, and just the director and writer on Boys in the Hood. He also did Rosewood, he did Shaft, Baby Boy, Too Fast, Too Furious, Hustle and Flow, Black Snake Moan, Abduction. Of course, not all the movies, all his films had the same impact as others, but just when you look at him and his eye in directing, like, the guy was extremely talented. And so we definitely want to celebrate his life, celebrate his impact on the film community, because it can't be denied. And that's something that no one can take away from him. And those movies are going to stand the test of time. They're classics, regardless of generation. I think, especially, like I said, those first three, I think everyone has seen them. At least it's just in my, if you haven't, you need to. So that's just my thought on that. That's, of course, what was the first thing on my mind. It sucks. It's sad. But you know, you want to celebrate a life. I know he was only 51 years old. He died from a stroke, and hopefully this is something that we, you know, we look to, and we, hopefully makes you guys, all of us, take being healthy a little more serious, because it can go any time. And 51, like I said, is a relatively young age. And you know, it just sucks, man. It sucks. It really does. But we lost a great voice and an eye in our community, and, you know, his movies will be remembered. He will be missed. Definitely. He will be missed. The next thing that I do want to talk about, just in the Mind of Hayes segment, and I know it's kind of hard to pick it back up, but I wanted to talk about this just because I feel like I know we'll get more in depth on the Breaks Media, but the fact that Jay-Z reunited on stage with Cameron, Jim Jones, Nas also came out. And it's funny because, like, when Nas and Jay-Z first originally reunited, it was on the I Declare War concert, and that was a huge moment. And I don't think that this is that same impact, because of course we know the beef and the drama between Nas, but Cam and Jay have quietly been at odds for the better part of like 15 years at this point. So to see them reunited, to see that, just that moment in hip hop, and then Jay also had a freestyle about Nipsey Hussle. Like, Jay-Z is becoming now the part of, like, seeing the mature Jay-Z. And when you think about where he's come, how Jay-Z had no problems throwing jabs at anyone, he's at this point now where he is really trying to advance and just help the culture, other rappers. Seeing what he's done with Meek Mill, he's just really taking a personal hand on just improving things. And, you know, I don't want to, of course, it was a concert and people may be like, well, that was really it. But it was just a great moment in hip hop. And it was one that I definitely wanted to mention. And just seeing the mature Jay-Z is just, it's amazing. You know, shout out to Ralph. I know Ralph had loved that moment. And also, Jim and Cam dropped a new single, Mama, I Made It, which is just amazing. You'll hear it in this podcast. I'll probably play it as the outro song. So, that's it. That's it for the End of Mind of Hayes segment. So we're actually going to get into the petty news from Scoop Grady, and I'll catch you guys on the other side of that with the part two of the Avengers Endgame review.
Yo, what's up? What's up, everybody? Scoop Grady with a petty news report. What has been up with y'all? I hope everybody's having a great day. I don't know about y'all, but I hope y'all allergies is not messing up, because for some reason this weather is playing with all of us, dude. Like, I've been having a runny nose. I've been going crazy for a couple days now. This stuff needs to stop, though. But other than that, we got so much to talk about. To all my people out there in Baltimore, what the hell is going on, man? It has been said that one person killed and six other people was injured in a shooting at a cookout. What the hell? Why are we shooting at a cookout? That's where we all get together, we chilling, we having fun, we eating good fucking food. Man, you understand how long it took people to make this food, to even, for real, it took probably a week or three to even get this whole thing ran the right way. And you gonna start shooting? We gotta do better, man. We gotta do better. I'm more mad at the food went to waste, first of all. Because if somebody starts shooting, I'm right around there, I'm taking a pan or something with me. I'm running with a pan. A pan of chicken or a pan of lasagna or dressing. R. Kelly. Legal team claims his recent loss in sexual abuse case was because of his learning disability. Huh, is that right? R. Kelly. Are you for real, bro? Learning disability. R. Kelly been on this earth for 40 damn years. If your ass don't know how to read now, that's not a fucking learning disability. That is your choice. That is something that you just said, fuck it, I'm just gonna do what I do. And you do good at singing, but you can't come on now. Do your lawyer got a disability? Is that the reason why you lost, dog? Nah, bro. You tried it. Hey, R. Kelly trying, man. He trying to get y'all back on his side, but it ain't gonna happen. I guess he tried to hit us with the switch up once again. Nah, bro. It's over, dog. You need to let it go. Next, Jay-Z performed at the Webster Hall, and he brought out everybody. I mean, everybody. From Nas, Jay-Z brought Cameron out on stage. First of all, Cameron came on stage with a full suit on and some goddamn Timberland boots. Such a New York person. Y'all, New York is in the building for real. I respect it. But if y'all forgot, Jay-Z and Cameron was beefing. Jay-Z said, you know what? Let's put this all to the rest, dog. I respect that, Jay-Z. Now, when you and Kanye gonna get back on the same page? That should be the next thing. Now, ain't no point of holding grudges. Let's finish what you started, dog. Man, I wish I was there. I wish I was on stage. I got a church suit in the closet that I ain't pulled out yet. You know what I'm saying? I only pull it out for interviews or funerals. With Jay-Z, I could have been there. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, shoot me a message next time. I would have definitely been there. Nick, Avengers Endgames. How many people have seen it? Was it good? First of all, I ain't seen the movie yet. So if you say anything to me, I might slap you. Or if you say something on social media, I might report it. I might get you taken off social media. If you've seen Endgames, you have 2 weeks before you start talking about it. You can't talk about it as soon as you saw it. This is one of those movies that is already in $1 billion already. Already. Somebody already got their ass beat for talking about it on social media. So please, man, y'all be careful. But hey, don't talk about Endgames right now. I ain't went and seen it yet. You know what I'm saying? I don't like going to the movies where I see everybody because everybody want to talk. I want to just go to the movies, you know, with like 10 people there. I can't be there around everybody. Everybody elbowing me. Somebody talking through the movie. I'd be ready to fight. I spent good money on these tickets. Now, shut the hell up. Next, Pharrell partners with Verizon for a musical education program. That is tough, man. But goddamn it, can you please give Verizon a go down on their damn phone bill? They charge you $7 just to call in and talk to them about your bill. Verizon, that's good that y'all doing that, but can y'all get y'all, bro, what if I had arthritis? What if I had a cataract? I can't get on the internet. I can't type. Y'all still gonna charge me $7 every time I talk about my bill. Verizon is too high, y'all. I'm just saying. I just got in my feelings a little bit. I'm sorry. And last but not least, the petty question of the week. And the question goes like this. If you're in a relationship and you talk to your significant other before you go to work or that morning and y'all don't talk for a long time, how long should that gap be before you hear from your significant other again? That is the question of the week. If you're in a relationship and you talk to your significant other from when the time you wake up, breakfast, good morning text, whatever, after you get done talking to them, how long should it be until you hear from that person again? That is the question. That is all we have. Thank you for listening to Awaken Soul. Continue to follow us. Y'all be cool and don't talk about Endgame.
All right, so it is time, even though Scoop said don't, time for us to get into the Endgame review again. This is part two of a two-part review, so make sure you go out and check out part one, which was posted yesterday. So we're kind of going to jump right into the middle of the conversation. I just wanted to, again, preface that so you guys wouldn't be like, what the hell is going on? So we're going to go ahead and we're going to now get into that Endgame review. Peace.
Zandarians in that timeline.
That, and then also in that timeline, there's now if Ego finds Peter Quill, the only reason Peter Quill snapped out of it was because of Gamora. So right. Now maybe I could go down a rabbit hole.
Human battery and Ego is taking over that entire. There you go. Ego is the most powerful person in that timeline.
Yeah. Wow.
There's too much. There's too much Marvel universe. There's too much.
Yeah, there's way too much. I don't even know where we were in the original timeline at this point. Let's just talk, man. What else is on your mind about this?
Well, since we're just talking about it, the scene with Quill doing the come and get your love bit, except for you can only hear him singing it, was hilarious, because I'm definitely guilty of doing that on a multitude of occasions, singing to myself with my headphones in. I'm sure I sound equally as terrible. And that song is probably the song I'm listening to. So that was kind of cool to see the other end of that scene. But yeah, let's get into this final battle here. So there's just so much stuff that goes on here. Man. So we get the snap, right? Everybody comes back, and then like no time whatsoever, kind of a parallel to the first movie, right? So in Infinity War, Thanos snaps his fingers and then immediately takes Stormbreaker to the chest. Well, now Hulk snaps his fingers and we immediately take a missile to the chest. And here we are, and the Avengers HQ is rubble. And all of the madness ensues. But yeah, I mean, there's a million things to talk about in this battle scene. What tickled your fancy?
The fact that Hawkeye survived it. Like, of all the shit that went down.
He survived it.
A normal human in a building that got shot up by missiles just gets up and is like, oh, I'm like, he no broken bones, nothing dislocated, no rubble fell on him. Like, he's
fighting
just
off nine outriders carrying a giant glove.
Exactly. And then just poor little Rocket is caught into this thing, screaming for his. Like, that was the first time we saw Rocket actually scared too. Like, I can't breathe. No,
right.
It was good. It was funny. But yeah. Hawkeye, man, Hawkeye got to be the luckiest son of a bitch ever.
That was pretty amazing. And Black Panther remembered his name, right? Because that whole scene in Civil War, he's like, "I'm Clinton." He didn't care. Well, he cared this time around. He remembered his name. He grabbed the gauntlet from him. That was a cool little sequence there. I feel like the Black Order kind of was almost is worse than they were in Infinity War. Like, they were powered down super much in Infinity War. This was even worse. This was like Maz, like, looking at looking at Thanos, like, "Well, what do we do?" He's like, Thanos shouldn't have been like, "Dude, you're a fucking wizard. Like, do whatever you want to do." It was terrible.
Yeah, like, and we didn't even see Proxima Midnight. Like, as far as the battle scene, I don't think. Like, we saw her when they all came down. Like, she was a badass in the first movie. She had, like, the Black Order has been one of the most wasted villains. Like, because what they should have done with the Black Order, now looking back, and of course hindsight is 2020, the Black Order should have popped up in a few movies individually throughout these first 22 movies.
Yeah, they could have been villains in some of these smaller movies on the buildup. Like, instead of Ronan in Guardians, it could have been, you know, Cull Obsidian or Ebony Maw or whoever it was. I did love, since we're on the subject of them, is that Spidey saved Tony from Cull Obsidian again in this movie, because he saved them in the park in Infinity War, and then he pulled them back for Giant Man to step on him. So that little callback was cool. And watching Korg and Drax fighting Cull Obsidian at the same time was also pretty funny.
Drax in the comics, and I know me and you, I think I've talked to you about this before. Drax in the comics, his whole purpose was to kill Thanos. His body was built, and he was resurrected to kill Thanos. I just really thought he was going to have more of a role to play in either one of these movies. But I guess if they would have cast it, because, you know, originally they wanted to cast Jason Momoa as Drax, but he turned them down.
Wow.
If they would have casted him, I think Drax would have been obviously completely different across all these movies. And I think it would have had a bigger role to play.
Definitely. Yeah. They managed to shoehorn every character in at the end there, but I feel like there were so many characters that we wanted to see so much more from, and there was no real reason to expect it based on all the marketing, is that we basically had the nine Avengers that were the time travelers that stood out the most, and you had no real reason to believe that all these other characters were going to come back early in the movie and we were going to get a lot of development with them. But to just have, you know, like, just all of the Guardians just popping up in a little window, and then you basically barely see the rest of for the rest of the movie, other than Rocket dives on Groot, Quill, you know, meets Gamora again, Nebula kills Nebula, but it was like kind of in flashes, and there were so many characters like that. Like, the Wakandans had very little play throughout the movie as well. Obviously, they just kind of popped in at the end there. Yeah. As so many did, but there was a lot of guys like I was really wishing to see more out of, but I don't know how much more. I mean, I don't need a 4-hour movie, so I guess there's certain things that they did need to trim down a little.
Gwyneth Paltrow finally suiting up. Well, she kind of semi suited up in Iron Man 3, but to see her actually out there fighting with Tony
and kicking ass too, she was she appeared to have full control of that suit, like she's been training for the last 5 years.
Yeah, and I think too that. this is probably her last. I think she's even said this was her last movie. It makes sense now, because now with Tony being gone, I mean, what role does Pepper really have to play? I don't know if maybe she pops in. Maybe she's going to be funding the Avengers going forward, because now she has access to the Stark fortune.
Yeah, but I mean, she's got to raise Morgan, right? Morgan's going to play a role in this somewhere down the line, and maybe they could just recast older Pepper.
Because they showed old boy from all grown up from Iron Man 3.
Well, he can hold the mantle until she's old enough, basically. And yeah, I mean, even you get that end scene, right? It wasn't really a scene, but you get that sound effect at the end of the movie with the three bangs of the hammer. Yeah, it could very well be somebody picking up where he left off. It could be either of those two eventually. It could be, you know, like they're doing in the comics with Riri Williams. They can have Ironheart kind of pick up from there. I don't know how or why, where they would introduce her into all of this, but I'm sure they could do that if they wanted to in the next couple of movies. But yeah, I think Morgan Stark is going to play a role. I honestly don't think Robert Downey Jr. is done with the MCU. I think he's going to be popping in and out as like a Jarvis type character for the rest of time.
That's been the rumor, and that would make sense, especially if Morgan takes over like as an Iron Man type character. Like he built and Jarvis, like we talked about Jarvis, like Jarvis is the first Marvel TV character to finally show up in a movie.
Yeah, that's right. OG Jarvis was there with Howard Stark. That was funny. I forgot about that almost, because I didn't really watch all that much of Agent Carter. I got a couple episodes in and was like, yeah, I could do without it.
It got much better, especially season two. But yeah, it started off slow as shit. But so it would make sense, just like he modeled his first AI after Jarvis, someone who probably had a real big hand in raising him, for her to do the same thing.
Yeah, or even Peter. You know, Peter will eventually get older in the MCU and will probably be some sort of Stark-esque, you know, super genius. And he can, you know, he can have his own AI be Tony, because, you know, that's going to be a big part of Far From Home, is him dealing with the loss of Tony, and who is essentially his now second father figure. We can assume he's lost, considering Uncle Ben was never really a part of the MCU, but now we get to kind of see that play out in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, they got a lot of different ways they can go with that. But to get back into this battle, I think seeing Cap finally pick up Mjolnir, and when they showed the hammer coming up and it came up slowly, they wanted to give the kind of make you think that maybe Thor was calling it to him, but I knew it was Cap picking it up.
In my theater, you hear all a bunch of people going, ooh, yeah, everyone's like freaking out. I thought that was so epic. Did they do too much Mjolnir with Cap?
I think so.
Yep.
Because A, it's his first time picking it up, and he knows how to call electricity. He knows how to throw it and come back. He knows how to use it to fly. Like, I get it. You and Thor have been friends now for 10 years or whatever, but to have that much control over it literally the first time you pick it up.
Also, it's like so ye who picks up the hammer shall have the power of Thor, but it's like we're told that the hammer itself doesn't have Thor's power. So it's like, you know, well, like is
we
that
were,
it's
a, we were told we were told that the hammer doesn't give Thor his power, but just like with Stormbreaker, how Stormbreaker has the inherent power to summon the Bifrost, I think Mjolnir has its own power, but it just wasn't the source of Thor's power, if that makes sense.
No, okay, that does make some sense. But yeah, like we get Cap, he not only picks it up and uses it and beats Thanos down with it for a little bit, then he calls it to him again right before Avengers Assemble, which is like still like I literally just got goosebumps saying it, because that moment is so epic. And then he has it again at the end. So plus he wields Stormbreaker at some point during the fight as well. I felt like I wanted to see it, but it didn't need to become his identity all of a sudden for that whole part of the movie. It was like it would have been cool to just see him use it once, maybe smash his own shield with it, lay out a bunch of people, and then go back to work. It became like part of Cap's character, essentially. He went back in time with it. There is a timeline where Cap doesn't have the shield, but he has Mjolnir.
we didn't need to see that much of it. We really needed to see maybe him just beat Thanos down with it one time. But like you said, that whole last act of that battle, he had the hammer the whole time. And I mean, it's cool imagery, don't get me wrong. It was great to see, but it became a little bit too much.
We got
Cap here.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. No, go ahead with Cap. We'll stay on Cap.
Cap in that scene, not much shit gives me goosebumps, but him by himself against Thanos and the whole army.
Yes. Oh, I need a
screen grab of it, something of that, and that's going to be the background on my phone for quite a while.
Yeah, I'm going to get a full portrait of it. I've got my Infinity War portrait on my wall. It's somebody did a rendition of The Last Supper with all the Avengers, so that's there, and then I now need to get that shot for my Endgame poster.
Are they
eating
shawarma in that?
Eating shawarma, and Stan Lee's in the back, like, cutting, like gyro beef off of a spindle. Like it's
that's funny.
It's hilarious.
okay but what were you about to say?
No, that moment with Cap was so, like, just you see him getting up and it's like, you know, he will fight all of them. He will fight every one of them. And I've been sitting around theorizing recently with Cap, like, what is the extent and what is, like, the genesis of his powers? And if you think about it from the aspect of Bruce Banner was trying to replicate the super soldier serum, right? And his the Hulk's power is directly linked to his anger. Maybe the original serum and Cap's power are directly related to his will. Like, he is just going to be as strong as he needs to be whenever he needs to be, whether it's, you know, winning an arm wrestling competition against the Falcon, or holding a helicopter to a building, or picking up Mjolnir, or whatever it is, like, whatever his will is, because he couldn't pick up the hammer in Age of Ultron, and it wasn't for the sake of worthiness, it was for the matter of he didn't really need to have it in that moment. But if somebody came through that door and he desperately needed to pick that hammer up, I think he could have picked the hammer up. And so in this moment here with Thanos, he not only picks it up, but then he's, you know, mastered it seemingly within minutes. So there's might be an element of Cap that it's going to be missed, obviously, because Sam's got the shield, but he doesn't have the super soldier serum. So it's going to make things very, very interesting for moving forward.
How does he have the shield? The shield got destroyed.
Well, I think Cap went back and got it in his old timeline, right? My theory is that he went back in time. He spent his days living out with Peggy. And then once Peggy died, he jumped back over to the original timeline to come drop off the shield to Sam.
Okay.
Which is why Winter Soldier, like, you never really get the goodbye with Cap and Bucky, because Bucky knew exactly what he was going to do. He even says, goodbye to him, knows. Like, goodbye, buddy. And he's just like, you know, don't do anything stupid until I come back. And he's just like, I know damn well you're not coming back, or at least not in the way that I'm looking at you right now, because he knew exactly the plan. And he may, for that matter, have been talking to Bucky this whole time in that timeline.
And it makes sense that, when you look at that, it plays off kind of odd until you get the reveal that he came back, because Bucky's just looking at him like, yeah, dude, whatever. And then even when he shows up, he's like, Sam, yeah, go talk to him. Wouldn't Bucky want to go talk? Bucky knew. That's his best friend. They've been friends for hundreds of years. Like, he knew exactly what he was going
to
do.
I would like to think that in that timeline, in addition to living out his days with Peggy, that he would have went to Germany or Russia to save Bucky. Right? Like, when that timeline's really wacky. There's like nothing similar about that timeline to this timeline, because so many things changed in the 40s.
Yeah.
Like, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit. Who knows, man? But yeah, Cap, great scene. And then we get it. Let's fucking talk about it, bro. Iron Man getting the gauntlet, doing the snap to make Thanos and his army go away. First of all, Thanos sitting down, like, realizing he got defeated before he finally went away, I think was great to his character, because it's like the one thing that he just knew was, and he says it throughout multiple times in the movie, it's my destiny, it's inevitable. It's for him to realize, like, oh shit, like, they beat me.
Yeah. Nothing is inevitable.
yeah, it was funny. But Tony dying.
I'm not, but yeah. You know, it was funny because the death itself, I felt like it happened, I don't want to say it happened too quick, but like the emotional rush of him snapping his fingers, like there was people in my arena, like in my arena in the theater that I was in, they were all like clapping still. And then you get him sitting down. So it was like, you get such a high and then it dropped, the bottom just dropped out, where it was almost like I didn't fully feel the effects of it right away, but where it really hit me. And this is such a beautiful, beautiful moment. This was so well orchestrated. This is like meta beyond meta, is when Morgan is sitting with Happy at the funeral and says she wants a cheeseburger. Dude, I lost it. Like, I was like, holy shit. And that's such a great moment too, because it's Happy, who's like as OG MCU as anybody. He's been around since the first movie. He
was the director of the first
movie. He was in it. Yeah. He was the director. He started this whole thing. Even Robert Downey Jr. has said as much. And he you know, understands the significance of Morgan wanting a cheeseburger, and Morgan representing all the people who might now be new or newer to the MCU doesn't get it. But it has so much meaning if you've known this whole time. Like, you know, he comes back from the cave. What's he want? He wants a cheeseburger. And she, yeah. Oh, man, dude, I lost it on that one, because that was when it really set home. It was like, damn, like, he's gone. He's left this imprint on the world, and his legacy is her now. And, you know, just all of it was just so, so crazy. This guy has been spending the last 11 years of his life leading up to that exact moment, and he pulled through and saved us all.
Yeah, I mean, and it made sense. Like, what we've been on since, what, the first Avengers movie, or even in Iron Man, is getting to the point of Tony caring about more than himself.
Right.
He was selfish. Iron Man, you won't make the sacrifice play, when Cap said that to him. And when it all is said and done, he put it all on the line. He gave up his life to save everything else.
Yeah, and I thought it was really interesting was how it all happened at the end, too, with him grabbing the gauntlet and the nanotech basically taking all the stones. Yeah. So it all really works its way back to Nebula with the crossover thing, right? So Thanos watched all of Nebula's footage and knows everything that happened from back on Titan, back in Wakanda. Like, he knows everything that Nebula saw from the events of Infinity War, right? And what did they keep trying to do? They kept trying to keep him from closing his hand. So he comes across Captain Marvel, and she's bending his hand back, and he realizes, may have even forethought, that this might happen again, and rips one of the stones out of the gauntlet and bashes her with it. And then Tony, you know, not only figures out time travel, but he also figures out that you don't need to get the whole glove off of his finger, off of his hand. You just need to get the stones. And it was like, so this masterful, you know, coming up with time travel was almost, it was secondary. It was irrelevant unless he came up with that bit of information. And that's why right after the stone is ripped out of the glove, that's when Strange points over to him, one, like, that's it. That's your moment. Absorb what just happened here and use it to save us all. And then, of course, he did, which was just crazy.
And then, like, hey, him and Peter getting that chance to embrace,
dude,
great.
That was another one.
Yeah, but then them being, they're on the exact opposite ends of what they were at the end of Infinity War. Like, Tony sitting up exactly how Peter was sitting up, propped against that rock. The Russos are just great fucking directors, man. Like, at this point, they need to do every end of phase movie, whether it be in Avengers, whether it be new, whatever the end of phase movies are now with the team ups. That's all. Call them in. Let them do that shit.
Yeah, for sure. And they'll be back when they do Secret Wars. They'll definitely be back if they're not back before then. But that look on Tony's face when he sees Peter, all of this complete chaos going on around him, and he sees Peter, and like, his life, just like, everything stops. It might as well have just been a total freeze frame around them. And Peter's just doing his rant. He's just like, and he did the thing with the sparkles, and everyone just like, I mean, that moment was so cool and so meaningful. And, you know, you see how much he loves Morgan. And he said to Cap, like, this is my second chance. Peter was his first, you know, in a lot of ways. Yeah. Really, Harley was, I guess, for a short stint in
Iron
Man
1. They just forgot all about him until the end of this movie.
he's just fatherly, right? Like, there's a paternal thing about him because he didn't have his dad around all the time that he wants to make sure.
We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, that's
the scene he had with his dad, but go ahead.
No, let's roll into that. Go ahead.
So, yeah, him just having the scene, and it really comes to everything that he realized kind of in Iron Man 2. You know, he had this whole kind of animosity towards his father until he saw that video of his father kind of cutting loose. And then his father in that video recorded a message to Tony. And I think that's what clicked in him, like, okay, maybe my old man wasn't as bad as what I thought. And then getting to see this other side of it when he sees his dad anxious for Tony to be born and talking about, I would give him anything. There's already nothing I wouldn't do for him. And he and Tony now has a child too, and he's talking about his granddaughter. He doesn't even know it. Like, it's just a great moment to see, and it's something that you wouldn't get if they didn't use the time travel. And I think they used it correctly as far as to tell their story.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool, and how he knew too. Like, he was talking to Cap about trying to figure out when Pym and Stark were in the same place at the same time, and he knew it was just around the time that he was born. right? So that was like vaguely how he figured it out, and he went back to around that time. That was really cool. And the exchange with just the two of them and him, like you said, like, you know, just kind of talking to his dad about basically getting to relive the whole moment from Civil War that he spent millions upon billions of dollars to recreate with the barf technology. He got to actually do it. And you know, he perfectly wraps up the segment there by saying, you know, no amount of money ever bought a second of time. With all of the fancy cars and all the crazy stuff that Tony's ever had in his life, like, that moment was the most significant moment of his life, is he got to go back and talk to his dad, who has been haunting him in some respect his whole life.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, crazy. Tony dying, man. That shit got me. We kind of already talked about it, too, but Cap, like, so of all the Avengers that die, and this, so Vision's gone for sure. We lost Tony. We lost Cap. We lost Nat. All permanently gone in these films now. I didn't expect. I guess Nat makes sense, but what do you think about like that generation? That those of the first Vision wasn't in the first six, but those three of the first six being gone now and off the playing field. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a big blow, and especially when you start to think about who's filling the voids. Like, all right, so Cap. And Cap, right? Captain Marvel's essentially going to kind of fill that void and run point and be the, you know, the general for the Avengers, I guess, moving forward in a lot of ways, plus working hand in hand with Fury. But who replaces Tony? Like, not that anyone can replace him, but who kind of fills that void as far as the technology goes? I think, you know, maybe not necessarily T'Challa specifically, but Wakanda as a whole fills that void.
Shuri,
potentially, yeah, definitely. You can see her, you know, getting a little bit more advanced tech and being more involved with sort of the action and you know, as time rolls on. But yeah, then I guess, I mean, to me, Strange kind of fills the void of Thor in that you have kind of science and magic kind of coming into one with Strange having being a doctor and now being a wizard. So he kind of carries on that next level, but. Are they ever going to feel as big and as important and as spot on as those first, you know, big three with, well, now we have Lebowski Thor, so I don't even know that he counts anymore, but, you know, Cap and Tony in particularly so perfectly cast, so well done, so well developed. It's a high bar. Like, it's a really high bar for all these guys to come in and try and take over and, you know, God help whoever should get cast as the X-Men or the Fantastic Four, because they're never going to be able to live up to those expectations. Like, they're going to be just criticized to death online for every little thing, because Tony and Cap were perfect. Like, can you imagine anybody else playing these roles?
I mean, I get, maybe there's a chance old man Cap is just going to be sitting in Avengers Tower now, just running ship, running point.
That would be interesting. If they end up doing like a Civil War II, I can see, you know, old man Cap, president of the Blue World, you know, over Battle World, over in the Blue or something along those lines. But that's way down the line. And I don't know that they'll ever actually get to that as far as the story goes. And Tony's not even around, so that's sort of unfortunate if they ever wanted to do that. Old man Cap, since you mentioned him, looks insanely like Clint Eastwood. They should have just cast Clint Eastwood to play old man.
That would have been the voice would have messed it up, but that would have been
perfect. Yeah, the voice definitely would have messed it up, but yeah, I was just, when he turned, I was like, son of a bitch, looks just like Clint Eastwood, like like him. It was crazy.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit. I know we're running long, and this is going to be a two-parter for anyone.
Oh, my God. Have we been talking for an hour and a half? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But what else, man? What else you got?
Rhodes and Carol. They had that little moment there. That's something that I've been, like, kind of hoping for in the back of my mind because of the Civil War II storyline, is that you build a little bit of a relationship between Rhodes and Carol there. And she did, you know, kind of specifically look at him and say, good luck. So there must be something going on in that five-year period where the two of them have some sort of connection. Hopefully we get to build on that. In that same scene, the Namor tease, with there being a giant earthquake underwater, and you know, sure enough, the Wakandans were the ones who discovered it. So maybe they are going down that road that you and I talked about not too long ago, with maybe Namor and Atlantis versus Wakanda, or teaming up with Wakanda somewhere down the line. Oh, man, I'm flipping through notes here. Oh, Wasp you got a Cap, that whole line, that was priceless. Yeah. There were those reunions after reunions, like that one spot in the middle of the battle where it was like, okay, here's Parker and Stark, and here's Gamora and Quill, and here's Scott and Hope, and it's like, God, I only have so much emotion, like I'm gonna dehydrate. It's bad enough I really gotta pee right now. You're 2.5 hours into this movie. It was there was just so much stuff, and to have emotional scenes in the middle of a massive hour-long battle, like that's something that really takes a lot of effort and a lot of crafting to even get across. So, you know, just I had my problems with the movie, but overall, like, it was just such an experience. I don't know that it has the highest rewatch, you know, rewatchability is sort of something that I like to factor in when I think of these movies.
Three. Says the person who's seen it four times.
I've seen it four times, so that's mostly because I'm trying to remember all the details so that I can have this sort of conversation with you about it. But, like, I don't know that I'll be watching it a ton, you know, like a year from now, mostly because it's a lot of time to commit, and there's other movies that I think, you know, do as good a job with the storytelling with far less characters and far less time.
Do you think better movie, this or Infinity War?
Infinity War. Like, definitively, yeah. Only, I mean, and there was an element to this where that was always going to be the case, no matter what they did with this movie, just because of the ending of Infinity War. How many big-time blockbuster superhero movies have you seen where they lose? Yeah. None. Like, the reaction at the end with the snap and the fact that it's not immediately resolved and we're left at a cliffhanger for a year, it, in and of itself, it's going to be so hard to replicate that. Now, do I think that's like the greatest of the MCU movies? No, there's still a couple I think are above that. But as far as this versus that, Infinity War is always going to have the nod, because like the ending to this one is sort of hokey and kind of thrown together and super cliche, and the good guys win and yada, yada, yada.
And the thing is, too, I think Infinity War is a better movie. I think this works better if you look at it as a series finale to a TV show.
Yes.
How you kind of get the greatest, like, for, I know it kept going, but like, I'm a huge Supernatural fan, and season 5 was initially supposed to be the end of that, and it was like the perfect ending to the 4 seasons that came before. They did 10 more seasons after that, but that was originally supposed to be the finale. But that's how I kind of look at this. This works great as someone, for anyone who's been invested in all these different storylines and all these different movies for all these years. It works great as that, but Infinity War is definitely a better movie to me.
Yeah.
This was more meaningful. And I mentioned, and I said it earlier, is that I think with this movie, they came up with how they wanted to end it and then just filled everything else in.
Yeah, there's definitely an element of that. And you know, is spectacular as the ending was there, and Sam coming over the radio on your left, great callback to the best movie that they still have ever made, in my opinion, which is Winter Soldier. But that whole thing was sort of cheesy, right? It was sort of lazy.
How would he have known they were coming on his left?
Yeah, I mean, well, how did he ever? He just magically synced back up with Sam. I mean, I know Nebula and Nebula were on the same Wi-Fi on Morag, but I mean, just still, like, the fact that he just randomly was tapped into his communications after all this chaos that's going on. I'm sure they've switched out comms devices a few times, considering a completely different swath of Avengers have been working together in different teams for the last 2 movies. That was sort of, I don't know, but like I said, I mean, just all the portals opening up and here comes everybody all at once. Like, oh, yeah, like, look at us. We're all just kind of showing up conveniently at the perfect moment in time where Thor and Iron Man are down and Cap's about to take on a bajillion beings all by himself. And, you know, just by the virtue of the fact that it was so kind of cliche and almost lazy, I guess, at the end. But I don't know how else you would have done it. Maybe more people kind of adding on over time. They did the snap, maybe, you know, a couple people show up and then a couple more people show up, but no, everyone just shows up at once.
Yeah, one thing to go back, I know we mentioned how he did the snap and then they got bombarded with missiles. I like how when he did the snap, it wasn't like everyone automatically appeared. You kind of had to pick up on the fact that it worked, like the birds showing up when there had been no birds at all, because he did knock out all living life, not just humans. So the bird showing up, then Hawkeye getting that phone call from his wife. I like how they did that. But, yeah, the ending, I get it. It was emotional. After Tony snapped, just imagine if they would have ended it after Tony snapping him dying. Like, him and Gwyneth there, that's how it just would have went out.
Wow. That would have been would have been, I mean, we would, there wasn't all that much that happened after that that was like super important other than Cap getting his dance with Peggy, I guess. But there were some other moments in there that were really cool, like Clint and Wanda. Because, you know, as much as we all,
that was a great,
as much as we all fawn over Tony and Peter, he's been like her father basically since Ultron, like when she first pops up and he finally gets her into the Avengers. He basically brings her onto the side of the light. He was the one who went after her in Civil War to get her away from Vision and, you know, got her out of that whole situation. And, you know, he's been a paternal figure to her throughout the movies as well. So for the two of them to now be dealing with these devastating losses in Vision and Nat together was, it was a cool little wrap up to that arc.
Yeah. And I think too, we'll get into speculation in the future, cause I have something to speculate with that, but yeah, the scene picking up where everyone kind of where they are reset and where they're sitting at it. I did enjoy that. I really can't wait to see what they do with Wanda. I just, and you'll know that when we get into it later, but Hawkeye, you got to think he's going back into retirement, especially after this, he's done too. Thor's off with the Guardians.
Yeah, well, the rumors, I mean, well, you said we didn't want to jump ahead, but as far as the rumors go for what they're doing on the streaming service, particularly with Hawkeye and Wanda, and even the Hulk is rumored potentially to be getting a series. It looks very much like they're going to be kind of breeding that next, you know, at least two of the three of them are going to be kind of breeding the next generation of those particular characters with Hawkeye training his daughter presumably or Kate Bishop or however they want to do that, and then ultimately Hulk potentially, you know, mentoring a Hulkling or a She-Hulk or something along those lines to move that character forward another generation. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Wanda fits into all of that. Well, in Vision potentially coming back, if at all.
And that depends, because how are you caught up on the House of M storyline?
No.
So Wanda basically at one point in the comics,
she's like, yeah, she's Magneto's daughter in the comics, right? Isn't that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But she's so powerful that she utters the words "no more mutants" and all the mutants disappear.
Whoa.
That's how powerful she is. So imagine if they do something similar and just her being able to will's Vision back into existence. I think that's where they're going to go with that.
Oh, maybe having a reverse effect that it brings all the mutants into it. I like that. There's going to be a lot of ways for them to introduce them. I want to say it would be tied to the snaps in some way, but I feel like by the time we see the X-Men, that'll be so far, like that'll be so long ago almost. So it'll be interesting. So maybe they do work it through with Wanda. Although, while I feel like we are going to get some interesting tie-ins from the series on the Disney streaming service, like I want something like that to be in a movie. You know, like something that's going to give me the big hint for the X-Men spawning into this universe. I really hope that's not on like season 2, episode 6 of Wanda and Vision.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, anything else you got left?
Activate Insta-Kill. That was it. That's it. I'm done with that. Everyone in the theater popped for that one. I really did appreciate that one. And that was a really cool callback. Other than that, I mean, no, the rest of the community cast got their showing in here. We got Senior Chang and Shirley popped in. The Russos like to put all the community guys in these movies. So that was kind of cool. And the Russo, Joe Russo did his little cameo.
Yeah, Joe Russo.
As well as Jim Starlin was in that scene as well. Yeah. So
Stan Lee's
cameo was pretty cool. A little 420 friendly. So who can't appreciate that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so where do we see it going? What's next, man? That's what I mentioned earlier. So it's so funny that they leave this in the 5 years in the future storyline, because I mean, it leaves a lot of storytelling aspects. It leaves like you can, because a lot of, even though everyone's back, a lot of these characters can still be dealing with the trauma of losing everyone.
Oh, for sure. And just the complications of now having a group of people that were born in 1987 that are 5 years younger than everyone else who was born. You know, like that there's going to be societal ramifications all across the board. The couples that were together and then their significant other moved on, and like all that sort of stuff is going to, you would think that would affect so many people. And honestly, even with the 50% of all life lost on Earth, I feel like there should have been significantly more life lost. Like even if Thanos killed 50% of everybody, you got to think like there's two pilots in a plane. There's 25% chance that both of them go. Now that plane is just flying without a pilot. Like we saw the helicopter crash, and we should be talking at least 75% of the population gone just by a ripple effect alone. To the point.
Well, that, and then even the 50% that came back, like if you were on an airplane, because they said everyone came back exactly where they were. If you were on an airplane when the snap happened and you disappeared, you came back in the middle of the fucking sky.
Yeah, or you know, like all those people that weren't snapped that died. Now, did they come back? Did they come back? Also, Tony can have
his kid. So we just lost all the people on the plane.
Also, Tony can have his kid and then die 20 minutes later. we really didn't think this one through. That was not forethought. We're just, all right, Tony, you figured out time travel. We'll do whatever you want.
But, yeah, so like we're... It's okay. So with the Avengers as a team, and even I think Feige has said, maybe we don't see any of these guys again for a while. Like what? Of course, we still see the Guardians. We'll see Thor with the Guardians, but people like Rhodey, people like Clint. I don't think we see Clint very much anymore. The Hulk. What did they do with the Hulk? The Hulk is now permanently stuck the way he is.
So
theoretically,
I guess. Well, the Hulk, there was two sort of tie-ins. So the Hulk could now potentially appear in Doctor Strange 2, as he has a little bit of history with the Ancient One. Like they can use that tie-in to have him pop in, because we know he's not going to get a solo movie regardless. So he's going to show up in another movie. Now in his crippled state, like the brilliant mind of Bruce Banner could find a home in Wakanda. Like that wouldn't be a terrible place for him to go hang out and work around with some tech and do some stuff over there. So maybe, you know, and he's also familiar with there. He fought there in the, you know, the end battle of Infinity War. So it's not like they don't know who he is. So those could be two places we could see him pop up. But yeah, I think like as far as like the next couple of years, I mean, we're looking at Eternals. We're looking at Shang-Chi, Black Panther 2, Black Widow, which is going to be a prequel from way back potentially. Black Panther 2, Doctor Strange 2, Guardians 3, which probably isn't going to be for another 3 years, this second Spider-Man movie that's coming up, and presumably a Captain Marvel 2. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, I mean, the next 3 or 4 years, we don't have another Avengers movie coming easily, not for another five or six, probably right before the X-Men show up. Like that'll be the last, we'll cap off the fourth phase, and then the Fantastic Four and the X-Men will start getting introduced in phase five. So, yeah, it might be a while before we see some of these core characters again and definitely all together.
Yeah, and Feige has said that they have a plan, but they're not announcing anything until after this movie release. So I don't know if we'll see something. I don't know when. You know, even when they announced Phase 3, they kind of just randomly called a conference and just announced all these movies in Infinity War. So they can really do whatever the hell they want to do. Of course, they're going to probably let this breathe, but you would think that we'll start seeing signs by the time. When does Homecoming come out?
Homecoming comes out in, I think it's July, like early July. But there's a Comic-Con like 2 weeks after Spider-Man drops. And that's going to be probably when they drop everything. And that'll be, you know, like they've traditionally done the big board of here's the next timeline for the next, you know, 5 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, there's going to be some serious names missing from that list now. And it may be, you know, maybe Thor is just sort of part of the Guardians now. So he might not even be getting a fourth movie. Would Thor 4 even be Thor 4, or would it be Valkyrie 1? You know, like, well, how does that work? Does Tessa Thompson get her own movie? And by all means, yeah, awesome. Of all of the gender bending that goes on in the MCU, I've got no qualms with Tessa Thompson whatsoever. She could do whatever she wants. She's great and everything. So, you know, that I don't know, man. It's going to be very interesting to see how they shape, you know, if there is a big threat that's going to overlap the next 4-5 years of the MCU. Who's it going to be, and how are you going to tie Strange and Panther and Shang-Chi and the Eternals and all this sort of stuff together? It seems like very, very disconnected, and I'm not nearly as up on the comics as you are, but I don't know that there's precedent for all those characters intermixing together other than big events like, you know, the Infinity Saga or Secret Wars or all that kind of stuff. So I know you, like I said, you know the comics way more than I. Is there any common thread there that you see them tying?
No, there's none. And that's what's going to be interesting about this. Not just the announcement, but just kind of how they wove the Infinity Stones throughout all these movies. There's nothing that I can see or think of right now that would keep a story connected other than like Galactus or Doctor Doom but they're not going to get into that quite yet. So this next phase, phase four, Feige's already said that it won't traditionally be the way that we think of phases anymore. They kind of move away from that. Maybe at this point now, we just see world building. for whatever they do in phase five or phase six. So maybe it's a bunch of, and this is where it would have been nice for Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
Take it down to the street level.
To have movies. Yeah, like, because we've had this huge galactic level threat. What if they do spin a phase just on street level heroes, just good movies, and then they start building out the bigger threat in phase five or something like that?
Yeah, it seems like there's going to be a bit of a disparity too, because you got like characters at the top getting more and more powerful with Captain Marvel, but then you are ultimately going to be introducing those street level type villain, street level type heroes and villains for that matter coming along with them. So it's like, not only are we expanding from a world to a universe to a multiverse, but we're also expanding from, you know, you've got everybody from somewhere down the line, like a Daredevil, Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, all the way up to a Captain Marvel, and even above and beyond her, like a Galactus or whatever, all that sort of stuff. It's almost like a big bang. Like, it's just ever expanding in every conceivable direction, this whole universe, and it could go any number of ways. And I like so much that they don't necessarily do it like directly from the comics, you know, that they use them as source material, but they are still very much creating their own universe here, and it's really cool to watch it all unfold and to try to spoil myself and then still be insanely shocked by things that happen within the first 7 minutes of a movie. Like, that's pretty nuts. I mean, you and I, we sit around, we read everything, we watch everything, we try to learn all this sort of information. I was like, completely, all of my expectations had been shattered within 10 minutes of this movie starting. And then I was like, exactly. But there's another 2 hours and 50 minutes in this. How am I even going to be able to handle it? And I barely did.
He's a fucking madman. That's all it is. Like, he's really a madman. But yeah, I really don't know, like, of the projects that have been kind of rumored, because nothing's been officially announced except Spider-Man Far From Home. I know they said that they're going to do a Black Panther 2, but we don't have a date. We don't know if they're in production. We don't know anything. Really, it was supposed to be Spider-Man Far From Home and then Guardians of the Galaxy 3, because that should have been filming by now if the whole James Gunn firing thing didn't happen. But now with that being kind of out of whack, and who's to know? They could make an announcement, like you said, the week or so before or after Far From Home and say, oh, we have all these movies coming out. Here are the dates. They're already in pre-production.
Yeah.
So it could very well be that. Because I mean, at this point, Marvel could be filming something we wouldn't even know. But I just don't see it right now. What's coming next? And that leaves me excited as a fan.
Yeah, I wish I could be super optimistic. I've been talking to you about this for a little while. I'm very much afraid of the MCU jumping the shark, like, almost immediately after this, just because we've got all the good actors. Like, all of the good actors have been in this franchise in some way, shape, or form already. Now you need to cast a Fantastic Four and an X-Men, all trying to keep par with this already existing awesome universe. You're losing Iron Man and Cap, and we're replacing them with, like, Captain Marvel. Like, you know, like, there's a certain drop-off that just sort of is coming up there. Plus, you got, like, the Eternals. Angelina Jolie is going to be an Eternal. Like, I have zero interest in seeing Angelina Jolie in any movies in 2019 at this point. Like, I get that it's a big name, but really, they couldn't have found any, you know, more relevant actress right now. I couldn't really, when I heard that, I thought it was a joke at first. It was right around April 1st. I'm like, oh, haha, Angelina Jolie's going to be in the MCU. No, it's real. This is a real thing. And it's already a franchise that is going to be on shaky ground. Because who are the Eternals? I have no idea. I've never read anything about them in the comics.
People said that about the Guardians.
Absolutely.
Too,
so. And because of the Guardians, people will give this a chance, but you got to land it. They're already talking about, you know, making some sort of socially justicey sort of roles out of these things. They're going to be bisexual Eternals and all this kind of stuff. And I don't think any of that will really damage it, because I would hope that they won't be as over the top of the marketing on it like they were with Captain Marvel necessarily. But you know, it's already a leap in and of itself, because they are characters that people aren't super familiar with. And then to try to add on all of these other things that really have nothing to do with the movie, it's going to be a tough go of it, especially coming after 22 movies that were all perfectly tied together in such a magnificent and unprecedented way. Like, the Star Wars universe could never even imagine being as awesome as the MCU universe is. And they're by no means any slouches in their own right. You know, it's like the Harry Potter universe can't even fathom the MCU universe, but they had 8 amazing movies that all tied together nicely. Here we are, 22 in. It's crazy.
Yeah. Endgame has made more money in the first weekend than Justice League made its whole run.
I can't say that surprises me at all.
That just is, I'm not a hater. I honestly enjoy Justice League for what it was. Like,
yeah,
because I don't go into it comparing it to, like, people went in and expect, like, you would should never expect Marvel level storytelling from anything. So I didn't go in thinking that. I enjoyed it for what it was, but I just think that that's just a funny fact. But as far as what's next, what would you like to see next? As someone who's kind of getting more into comics, what's something that you would like to see next?
Yeah, like I said before, Earth 65 would be a nice spinoff. You get Spider-Gwen, you get all that sort of stuff. But I would like them, and it's going to really be dependent on whether or not they can get Sony on board with all this, but I'd like to see them bring, like, Tom Hardy and Venom into this, and let's do the Spider-Verse thing over here in live action, and let's, like, really expand upon that sort of stuff, especially with, you know, you can always incorporate Norman Osborn back into the MCU. I think we're far enough removed from those old-timey the old-timey Spider-Man Raimi movies to where we can reincorporate Oscorp and really roll with that. So I'd like to see them expand upon the Spider-Verse, I guess. And then from there, I'm really intrigued to see what goes on with the Guardians, especially now that Thor is going to be in the mix there. Do they add on other people? Do they bring Nova into the mix? Because that's been something that they've been rumoring for a long time. You know, making the Guardians a bit more formidable, maybe even working Carol into the mix with them, because she does seem to fit more at home with them than with the Avengers on Earth. So I'd like to see both, I guess, kind of like we were talking about before, like almost the more street level stuff with Spider-Man and expanding out. Maybe let's get a live action Miles Morales, Gwen Stacy, all that sort of stuff over here. And then also just above and beyond, I guess, through infinity and beyond, with the Guardians and Carol and Thor doing all sorts of crazy stuff on realms we've never heard of.
I would like to see, that's one thing, that's probably what I would like to see, is that let's make a distinction between the cosmic and the street level here on Earth for maybe the next 3 or 4 years. And then maybe once they're ready to do the Fantastic Four, that's what brings it all back.
Yes, that'd be a great bridge, too. And, you know, they maybe... Yeah, maybe the Fantastic Four have to bring in some cosmic entities to get the X-Men and the Avengers off one another. Like, maybe we get another Civil War type event, and there's a qualm between the heroes here on Earth, and that's when something bigger comes in. I was sort of surprised we didn't get, like, a big cosmic being in this movie. I figured this would be a great opportunity for them to introduce one, an Eternity, a Living Tribunal, One Above All, whatever they wanted to do to bring in, because Thanos, you know, severely altered reality. Let's face it. I mean, there's really no way of looking at it otherwise. So if you were going to start bringing those characters in, at least teasing one of them in this movie, I thought would have been a nice bridge. And then maybe you can use that to tie to the Eternals in some way. And that gives people, like, a connection through the movie universe and a reason to go check that out.
Yeah. Maybe, and the Eternals may be where we see the next big threat. Because, I mean, even with, like, phase one, there was no overarching threat until the end, really, and that's when we saw Thanos. Like, really, no one would expect it for Loki to go from a villain in Thor to be the reason why the Avengers formed through that whole phase.
Yeah.
So I don't think we need to look for this next phase after this movie to really give us the signs for where it's going to go, because we wouldn't have guessed what we got from the way the phase one
ended. That's true, so, yeah. Like, it might be a three-act, three-phase sort of another situation again, right? Yeah, so we might not see Galactus or Doom or whoever it is till the end of this next phase, if we're still calling them that. I guess Kevin Feige's trying to get us out of that language. But you know that's how they're storyboarding it, so we can call it whatever we want to call it. That's what they're doing. That would be interesting, and that does give them about 5 years and for them to come up with however they want to do the X-Men and the Fantastic Four and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure they've been throwing around ideas for a long time in closed door meetings, and now they can finally maybe brainstorm a little bit more out loud about it. One last thing I wanted to complain about this movie, because I wanted to end on a problem because it was so fantastic. I wanted to send everyone home on a sour note. In this movie, we got Frigga, we got Alexander Pierce, we got Peggy Carter, we got Jane Foster, Loki, Rumlow, Howard Stark, OG Jarvis, Pym, Hank Pym, Agent Sitwell, Maria Hill, Ned, and the Ancient One, but no Luis. Bump that.
Wow. You're right.
I was so pissed. You're right. He wasn't there. He didn't do the end credit scene where he told the whole story of the first three phases. He didn't get a suit, not even a suit with no powers or minimal powers, just a suit. Like, nothing. We got nothing out of Luis. And I was like, this is a perfect. We could have had him interacting with Happy, with Rocket, with, you know, any Okoye. Imagine him and Okoye in a conversation together. That would end.
And see, that's the thing with them staying in this 5 years thing, that's going to be so odd, because now when the next Ant-Man movie pops up and like Luis and all the other guys that work at the security firm aren't 5 years older than it, like, should, so they all went
they
away.
Should all be,
like,
and they can make fun of how Paul Rudd doesn't age anyway. So it's like, now it's doubly unfair.
Well, man, this has been fun, Bello. Tell the people where they can find you, man. Anything else you want to say before
we you can find me in the movie theater tomorrow as I'm going for my fifth viewing. IMAX 3D tomorrow. I think this will be the last theater view, except for I like to go see it in the Dolby Digital Surround Sound Theater, which I haven't had a chance to go see it yet, so that might be my sixth viewing. Yeah, Kevin Feige, I'm $120 deep into this endeavor, so thank you for this movie. And that's just about it, man. You can find me on Twitter at Bello Being Bello for all the lighthearted Marvel wrestling Mets related nonsense going on in my life. And then should you dare enter Thunderdome, you can find me over at Cancel This Pod for all of my extreme and unapologetic right wing political nonsense.
You've been killing it on the podcast.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it's been so fun. And unfortunately, I had to cancel an MCU. I had to cancel a viewing of Endgame so I can record this show for people tomorrow. So check it out. Do me a solid at Cancel This Pod on Twitter and canceldthispodcast.podbean.com.
Bam. All right. That's it. Let us know your feelings on Endgame. I'll be looking out for you guys on Twitter and all the social media. But as of this right now, that's it for an Endgame review. Peace.
Peace.
Cold soul and a hard body.
Heatmakers. Crack music.
Yeah, everything seemed drama related. Comma after comma, them commas my favorite. Come to money, know my body. Just time it and date it. All I ever wanted to say was, look, mama, I made it. Look, mama, I made it. Look, mama, I made it. That crack rock used to cut it and shave it. That was after I bathed it. Look, mama, I made it. Saw the syringe, I swore I would cringe, mommy. Going off the bins, daddy beat the doors off the hinge. It felt like God was recording my sins to play them back in my dreams to make sure I saw them again. I can't afford no more friends. I can't afford no more losses. I dropped bags at the jeweler, spent 40 on crosses. I was down on my chips and I was still at the dealer. I put bricks on my wrist so I could feel like a dealer. I'm a cold soul and I'm hard body. Roll dolo in a wide body. They snatched the gang, they tryna charge him with a John Gotti. Another three, they going down for an armed robbery. It's all facts, I can't tell a lie. I pray to God, cause he told me that the devil lies. Call my jeweler, then he told me that my bezel cries. Drop my top so I can pray up to my heaven skies. Yeah, everything seemed drama related. Cash stuff. Comma after comma, them commas my favorite. Come to money, know my body. Just time it and date it. All I ever wanted to say was, look, mama, I made it. Look, mama, I made it. Look, mama, I made it. That crack rock used to cut it and shave it. That was after I bathed it. Look,